Kate Miller into the game.
I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did.
22nd timeout with the Lakers.
I thought the pig would win the Oscar.
111-89.
You ever see the Oscar?
Be quiet.
All right, it is 9:06 p.m. on Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. And this is Basketball This Week, done quickly. It's a little confusing because I was filling out some paperwork the other day, and I kept on putting 424 down, even though it wasn't 424, and well, it is now. Cool story. Great story. anyway, yeah, it's the playoffs. It's fun. It's exciting. You know, it's your favorite time of year to just overreact to whatever the last game that you saw was, and think nothing's going to change, even though at least in the last maybe 4 or 5 years, the first two games haven't always been indicative of much. you know, it's rough because you don't ever want to like get too doomer or too hopeful based on the first two games. But back in the day, like, you used to be able to, and it's a lot less like that now. We'll get into that more later in the playoff react section. But let's talk about news first. Awards. Do you care about these awards? I still don't. It's like if you're looking for something to be mad about, it's fuel for that. If like you're looking for a reason to be mad, but there's so many reasons to be mad that I don't necessarily need this one. No real surprises. OKC coach of the year, pretty predictable. Finalist for defensive players of the year, Rudy Gobert, Wemby, and geez, who was, I don't even remember who else got it, but of course, no Anthony Davis, but like I told you all, they're never nominating him for that award again. So, no shock there. Most improved player, we know this award is just completely broken now. No longer goes to the most improved player. It goes to favorite new all-star. it's kind of what that goes to. So went to Maxey. Maxey's a pretty good player, but you know, I think Kobe White was the most improved player of the year. But you know, whatever. And sixth man of the year went to Naz Reid. Sacramento fans are very angry, understandably so. Given all that all they've gone through, but it was a very close vote. I think Nas won by two votes, which seems fair. I probably would have went with Monk over him, but Naz Reid was definitely like my 1B. So if he made me vote, but again, like I said, who actually cares about these awards? Like, actually gets happy about them. It's tough. Anyway, other news. J.J. Redick is interviewing to be the coach of Charlotte. I can't even say without laughing about it. You know, I don't get it. Like, being a commentator on TV shouldn't be enough to get you interviewed. But yeah, commentators are always interviewed for these positions. So I don't know if it's just having the right agent or what, but I don't know. I feel like if he wanted to be a head coach, he should be an assistant right now, because he would certainly be the type of person who would be very easily able to get an assistant job. I don't know so much about him just being named a head coach, but hasn't happened yet, so it's too early to, again, are you looking for something to be mad about? Too early to get mad about it. All right. Other thing we do this time of year is playoff react. So let's get into it. It's might take a little while because there's a lot of stuff. We'll start in the East. Celtics versus Heat. Man, the Celtics are just committed to playing the percentages, even if it kills them. Like, Mazzulla is just so convinced that, like, not only that his team should only shoot threes and do nothing else, but also it's okay to just let other teams, bad shooters, shoot threes. Now, he's not alone in this. This just seems to be a new coaching paradigm. I say it's new, but it's like it was also Phil Jackson's philosophy. But and it's something that the math also supports. But it's one of these things where, like, sometimes the math supports it, but it doesn't necessarily feel very good to say, well, the math is going to catch up when you're the one seed losing an eight seed. But beyond that, like, I don't think the Celtics have a ton to worry about yet. It was very impressive that he did that, but it doesn't feel like the same. It doesn't feel like they're menacing the Celtics like they did last year. So I guess we'll see how it goes. Oh no, it's back. We'll see how it goes. It's back. Oh no. Oh well. Knicks versus Sixers. It's a very competitive series despite being 2-0 in favor of the Knicks. These games have all been, like, down the wire and very tight, and it's almost impossible to watch this, though. Like, if there's any other screen in front of me, like, I start staring at that screen just because the Sixers basketball is just so hard to watch. It suck all the fun out of the game, and it's rough, man. And, like, if you want to suck the fun out of something, the Knicks are they'll get right on board with you with that. So hey, I mean, some of the finishes in these ones were crazy, like crazy finishes. Not the craziest, but still one of the craziest finishes we saw in a game in the last couple years. So yeah, it's hard to, like, my recommendation for this series is to tune in the last 5 minutes and, I don't know, play some Luck Be a Landlord until then, or Minecraft or something. It's my current recommendation for that series. But watch the last 5 minutes. Bucks versus Pacers. This one is actually interesting to watch. Each team has looked, you know, pretty definitively better in their wins, which is kind of wild. Like, they just look like the much better team in the games they won. But they've split it, so who can say what the reality is? There's definitely some, like, some overrating of Dame going on, of course, but, like, what else is new? I remember that 35-point half, like, oh, so you say he's bad. And then he spent the next, the entire third quarter. He was out there the entire third quarter hanging out by the defensive rim. And I have to specify the defensive rim because for some reason somebody thought I was talking about offensive rebounds when I said this. Triple-doubles would be a lot more impressive if people were getting offensive rebounds to get him, but no. Dame was hanging out by the defensive rim instead of playing defense because he was hunting a triple-double. And Indiana, we scared the Bucks a little bit in that half, but, you know, they sat Dame and then they went back on the run. Now, what they did in that game is they sat Dame and they did not put Malik Beasley in. Malik Beasley played a lot in game two, and the Pacers' offense wasn't completely awful in game two, and they pretty much ran the Bucks off the court. It's fun to blame Dame. I've been blaming Dame plenty, but he's not the worst defender on this team, which is amazing. It's definitely Malik Beasley. Whenever that guy's out there, man, like, the Bucks are just getting killed, and, like, there's nothing they can do to stop it. Like, if you want to see an NBA player just melt down, look for the clip of on Twitter or X of Chris Middleton melting down, and you will see him just absolutely break at Malik Beasley's defense. So, yeah, interesting series. I wouldn't call these games good per se, but it's interesting. So it's worth checking out for that. And Cavs versus Magic, I think the games have been pretty good, actually. But it's more from, like, if you enjoy execution, and, like, the Cavs are just executing, like, on both ends of the floor very efficiently. It's a very professional series. Cavs aren't messing around. They aren't taking the Magic softly. They're just going out there and doing their thing and putting as little drama in the game as possible. It's pretty admirable. Now, the Magic are playing just well enough that I could see them picking up one or even two of the home games, because the Magic are playing well. They're just outmatched as the Cavs play very efficiently at home. The Cavs don't play that efficiently on the road, so I could see this swinging back to the Magic. But given that the Cavs have home court advantage, and I expect them to get one of these road games eventually and finish this off fairly fast. But I could see the Magic picking up two in this one for sure. All right, the West. I'm running out of breath. Oh, how embarrassing. I used my inhaler on the air, and you can tell I didn't do it right because it whistled. So, Thunder versus Pelicans. Feels like a very normal 1v8 series, which is usually game one is pretty one of the first two games is pretty competitive, and the other one is just kind of a blowout. Definitely looks like the Pelicans are looking to get that back home. So pretty normal series here. Pelicans are Thunder look great. they look great. Pelicans looked pretty great in game one too. They looked very very outmatched in game two, but it's kind of understandable given their injuries. Hoping the Pelicans play well at home and get one or two to keep this series going, because I'm enjoying it. I'd like to see more games in it. Nuggets series I'm not enjoying. Nuggets versus Lakers. This would be a devastating game if, like, I believed in my hearts and hearts that it was possible for the Lakers to win this one. I don't fully believe it in my heart, though. So it was rough, but it was almost like you could almost see it coming. Like, these games, it's like, this is not, oh, the NBA is scripted, like WWE. This is not me saying that, but it feels like these games are on a script. Like, they just like the way that these games have been breaking the past all 10 of these games, it feels like you've just seen this show before. And I'm not using scripting to say it's fake. I'm just saying it feels like you're watching a movie you've seen. Things just happen the same every time. Now, there are a lot of reasons that you could come up with this. You could point out that the Lakers are effectively not consistently running offense in the second half of games. You could, you know, point to their defense, which has been pretty bad. You could also very correctly give the Nuggets lots of credit, because their defense has been good enough. It hasn't been super great, but it's been good enough, and like their offense has been very consistent, and they're strongly winning the battle of the rebounds. Like, if you're just looking for like the Occam's razors of this series, like, the Nuggets are getting about 20 more possessions a game than the Lakers, and you don't win a lot of series when you are down. I guess more like 12 more possessions a game. You don't win a lot of series like that, though. So, yeah. It's a rough watch for a Laker fan, but again, like, very... it feels like we've seen this movie before, so I'm not going to be too torn up about it, but damn. Timberwolves versus Suns. It's not a good year for teams that I lightly follow. Timberwolves have just been taking the stuffing out of the Suns. Like, the first game was a little more competitive, but in the end, like, the Timberwolves defense kind of asserted itself, and once it asserted itself in game one, like it never stopped in game two. The fact is that like Bradley Beal has to play a lot better for the Suns, because if he's not playing well, they can just double and even sometimes triple Devin Booker. And after, if he beats that double or that triple, he has to then try to score on Rudy Gobert. It's rough. So they need something out of just anything out of Beal, so that like so that the guards of Minnesota don't have to like push pressure or are compelled to not pressure Booker as much, because it says like Kevin Durant is doing his thing for sure. He's not coming up short. So, but you need multiple scorers to win in the NBA. See the Lakers series where they only have three scorers. You need multiple scorers in NBA, and like the Suns aren't doing it. And like you got to give so much or all the credit basically to the Timberwolves, because this is all their defense, and like they're really timely offense, really efficient. It's been fun to watch. Like it's a very professional series, much in the same way that the Cavs versus the Magic are. And maybe the least professional. No, I'm just trying to make a transition. That's not true. Clippers versus Mavs. I'm glad the Mavs responded the way they did in game two. And it looked like a very uncompetitive series in game one. And in game two, they responded quite well. And they won the game. They beat the Clippers, which is tough right now. Clippers are playing really well, and like they were playing really well that game, and the Mavs just outplayed them. You even saw like Luka play defense, which you don't see every day, but he played defense and he played defense well. And you could argue that defense is the reason why the Mavs won that one. This one was pretty sloppy a lot of the times. I'm not going to say that, like, because Knicks Sixers exist, I'm not going to say this is the least watchable series, but it's pretty close. But hey, you know what? It's worth watching, though, because you do see some elite shot making. So I'm not going to say tune out completely, but this might be another one where you just kind of want to watch the last 5 minutes here. All right, that's going to do it for this one. Stay safe, my beautiful friends, and we'll be back next week and finish off hopefully round one is finished, and I hope not, but round one will be almost finished maybe, and then we'll gear up towards the next phase of the podcast for the next phase of the playoffs. All right, talk to y'all later.